Lord God, we pray that you will encourage us, rebuke us, build us up as we look at your word, written so long ago about people we've never met. And yet, Lord, your providence gave us this account and this story that we might learn more of you, more of ourselves, and more of the gospel. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, open our ears, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm still in the first book of Kings and the second chapter. I think this is the fifth sermon we've got out of this chapter, and almost certainly the last. And you'll be aware that before David died, he gave instructions to King Solomon, who was to take the throne after him. And part of the instructions were to deal with various characters who had offered hostility or opposition to David and his throne. And previously, we've seen Adonijah dealt with. We've seen Abiathar exiled. We've seen Joab executed. Well, last but not least, Solomon deals with Shimei, who is an intriguing, mysterious, slippery character, if ever there was one. And so we come to verse 36 of 1 Kings chapter 2. When the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there anywhere, for it shall be on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head." I will pause there and I'll just consider those first passages before we look at the rest of the text. And Solomon here has effectively given Shimei a suspended sentence. Now, if ever you go to court and perhaps you deserve imprisonment, the court will, for its own reasons, sometimes decide to give you that sentence, but not activate it or not activate it straight away. And you might be given a month in prison, suspended for a year. What that means is that you're walking away from the courtroom free. But if you do anything else which is wrong, you'll be brought back to court and you'll automatically go to prison for that offence, and they will add time on for anything that's new. And it's a way of punishing someone without costing the taxpayer any money. I'm sure that's the real reason. But it's also a way of keeping people out of trouble who might otherwise be tempted back by a life of crime. Well, Solomon the Wise has determined to give Shimei a suspended sentence, only it's not imprisonment, it is in fact a suspended death penalty. He could have exiled him, as he did with Abiathar, but rather he's keeping an eye on this fellow. He's keeping him close to the court, where a close eye upon him can be kept. Now, it's not clear from the text whether it was literally a house arrest, because Solomon tells him that if he crosses the Kidron Brook, which was in the valley outside Jerusalem, the sentence would be activated. So it might be that he is able to come and go from his house, but he cannot leave the city. And what we might ask was the crime of Shimei that warrants such a restriction. Well, you'll be aware that he cursed David all that time ago when he was busy fleeing from Absalom. "Come out! Come out, you bloodthirsty man! You rogue!" called Shimei to the greatest king that Israel ever knew. And it's not clear from the text whether David forgave him, nor whether Shimei truly sought that forgiveness. And that is something I've been pondering over this week. I don't know how other preachers prepare their sermons. I know one excellent preacher who always prepares a couple of hours before he preaches. I know some who prepare months in advance. Well, I'm not sure I could do either of those two. I prepare at the beginning of the week, and then I go back to it at the end of the week. And what happened this week is that I had to ask myself, why does David want Shimei dealing with? Was it that he did not forgive him? Or was it that Shimei did not wish to be forgiven, and therefore both at the same time? Either way, David requiring of Solomon that he punish Shimei put Solomon in a rather unenviable position. I read in the news this week that of all the jobs in government, the one which we might least envy right now is the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Because for a number of months now, he has quite rightly been dishing out money which now must be paid for. And when he was busy dishing out the money, he was rather popular. But now the cuts or the tax rises are coming. I don't imagine Mr. Sunak will be the most popular member of the government for the rest of the year. Well, if the Chancellor is in a difficult position, I'm certain that Solomon was in a difficult position at the start of the chapter. You see, Shimei has done nothing to him personally, and David appeared to publicly forgive him. And yet now David seems to be asking Solomon to publicly punish him. Well, let's look at the text. I will read it to you. We go back to 2 Samuel chapter 19, a long time ago. I preached on it at the time. And yet here we read in verse 18. Now, David is being restored to the throne. And we know that while he fled from Absalom, Shimei was cursing him, throwing stones at him, things which, according to the Jewish law, were deserving of death. Now Shimei, verse 18 of 2 Samuel 19. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, "Do not let the Lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel?" Therefore the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king swore to him. Well, did Shimei repent? It certainly looks like it. He fell down before the king. He acknowledges that he has sinned. He says to the king, "Do not take it to heart." And David has the opportunity of executing him there and then, and does not take it. Well, in this very chapter of 1 Kings chapter 2, David speaks again in verse 8. "And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, 'I will not put you to death with the sword.' Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man and know what you ought to do to him. But bring his grey hair down to the grave with blood. Now, how do we reconcile those two passages? How do we marry them together in our heads? Is it that cursing the king cannot be forgiven? Is it the unpardonable sin? Now, we've had a number of Bible studies on the Thursday at Martin Top, at which we've looked at the unpardonable sin, and various suggestions have come forward. And let me put to you now my own interpretation. The unpardonable sin is the sin for which no pardon is ever sought. But might it be here that David is thinking that he who curses the king cannot ultimately be pardoned? Was David being cunning with his words? He won't kill him, but his son will. That is a possibility. Should we be surprised if that is what David is thinking? Should we be disappointed with him? Shimei did deserve to die, and David had his chance, but instead showed him mercy. Well, I will come back to that. In verse 38, Shimei responds to what Solomon has said. Shimei said to the king, "The saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so your servant will do." So Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Shimei responds to the king as though he could not have expected anything better. He does not protest his innocence or say, "Look, I was forgiven. You have no right to do this to me." He seems to accept it rather meekly, rather mildly. Had he believed himself to be forgiven, he might have felt hurt and badly done to. Or is this Shimei showing grace on his part, accepting the decision of a new king for something he did long ago? Well, in verse 39, there is a change of scene, and we get a glimpse into Shimei's domestic arrangements in his house arrest at Jerusalem. Now it happened at the end of 3 years that two slaves of Shimei ran away to Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, "Look, your slaves are in Gath." Now, why did these two people run away? The text does not tell us. It might be that they were deeply unhappy in their service in that home. Now, the position of slave, though seldom sought after, was not a guarantee of hard toil and poor treatment. In tough times, the ancient slave often fared far better than the free, labouring poor. Why is it, though, they flee to Gath? It might be that these two people were themselves of Philistine descent. Or maybe they wanted to go to the place where Shimei was least able to retrieve them. They may well have thought that life living with the son of the king of Gath was preferable to living with Shimei in Jerusalem. Now, we cannot fully understand nor peer into the heart of Shimei, but we do know that the running away of two members of his own household would be his undoing. It's interesting that when the Apostle Paul looks at the qualifications for those who are to be leaders, he looks at what goes on in their own household. If a man cannot lead his own household, neither can he lead the household of God. And Shimei, in many respects, was a clever, successful, wily individual. And yet it would seem here he was unable to run his own household in a peace and tranquility which would endanger, ultimately, his own life. In verse 40, Shimei arose and saddled the donkey. He went to Achish at Gath to seek his slaves, and Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath. Well, their plan seems to have failed. Shimei is not one to leave to lose two pieces of valuable property. Whether it was that the king of Gath handed them over, or whether speedy Shimei captured them before they fully entered his protection, I do not know. Shimei, though, seems to get away with everything. He throws stones at a king and gets away with it. He then seems to apologize to that king and ends up living not far from his court. He gets away with it. His vengeful son accedes the throne. Once more, Shimei gets away with it. His slaves run away. He breaks his curfew. He goes to Philistine territory. He finds them. He recaptures them. He brings them back. Once more, he gets away with it. I wonder if Shimei does not realize that the law applies to him. Now, he's very quick to apply his rights to the runaway slaves and to dispense justice to them. What he does not seem to realize is that wise King Solomon will deal with him as he dealt with them. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 2, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So far, Shimei, who seems to get away with everything, is about to get caught up. Solomon says to him, or we're told in verse 41, that Solomon was told that he went to Gath from Jerusalem and come back again. "Curse not the king. No, not in thy thought. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell him the matter." Solomon probably wrote those words, and he was no fool. He was keeping an eye on Shimei. And if Solomon wanted a reason to execute him, to honour his father, Shimei has just provided it. The king calls for him and said, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, saying, 'Know for certain that on the day you go out and travel anywhere, you shall surely die.' And you said to me, 'The word I have heard is good.' Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I gave you?" So what has Shimei done wrong? Well, he disobeyed his king. Number two, we realize that he made an oath to the Lord to that effect, and he has now broken it. He might have got away with so much in his life, but he's not going to get away with this. He could have lost the servants, but kept his life. Instead, he's about to lose both. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? I wonder if Shimei wondered that Solomon was as lax about honouring oaths as he was himself. Sometimes the wicked assume that everyone else is just as wicked as they, that their poor, low standards are universally observed. Shimei has met his match. Although he is not to be executed for his cursing of David all those years ago, his sin is finding him out, and that wickedness too is about to be expunged. He who curses will be cursed. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. But friends, the fluttering sparrow and the darting swallow, they roost in the evening. And the curse of Shimei has now come back upon his own head. This curse is about to rest. And so in verse 46, we have that verse which has been repeated a number of times now. Solomon commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down. He died, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Well, if at the beginning of the chapter, Solomon wondered how he would possibly obey his father, at the end of the chapter, he has obeyed him in everything. And so we need to come to the question of whether it was just for David to highlight Shimei to Solomon, which enabled Solomon to put conditions upon him, which he knew deep down he would inevitably break and therefore deserve to die. Could it be that Shimei was never truly repentant? Shimei is one who spoke, I think, rather glibly. He curses David and then changes his mind. He swears an oath to Solomon and then changes his mind. He tells Solomon that the sentence is good, but then goes ahead and breaks it. Could it be that Shimei says whatever he wants, speaks without thinking, because to him, words are cheap. And therefore it might be that deep down, he never truly was sorry for what he did. He pretended to want forgiveness, but in fact, he never received it because he never really wanted it. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. We had a discussion at our Bible study not very long ago as to whether it's possible to forgive somebody who does not want to be forgiven. And in one sense, we can't. We might move away from it ourselves. It does not do us good to nurse a grudge or to harbour hostility to a person. And yet I wonder if that person does not repent, can they ever truly be absolved of the offence? Well, based on what the Lord Jesus said there in Luke, I wonder if that wasn't the case. And David was unable to forgive him because deep down David knew that Shimei was never truly sorry. He was a politician at heart. When David was down, he cursed him. When David was up, he fell down before him, feigning loyalty and devotion. Alternatively, Shimei did repent. He did want to be forgiven. And therefore, David was not being entirely honest nor gracious. And over this week, I've been trying to work out which interpretation is correct. I'm afraid I've not come to a conclusion, though I dare say some of you will contact me during the week and tell me which one you prefer. Either Shimei never truly repented and therefore was never forgiven, or he had sought forgiveness, but David had been unwilling to give it, which means that for a number of years, David in his heart was bitter towards him. He'd never really let go of what he had received, of the wounds which had been given to him by this man. Now, David, of course, was a great king, and he's a great role model for we believers, but he did not get everything right. He was, after all, an adulterer. He was a murderer. And although he's a great man of faith, sometimes he doesn't trust God as much as he ought to. I put it to you that David is never and never could be as gracious as Christ. If David refused to forgive when he had the opportunity, yes, it's disappointing That was the case with David. But let me tell you, David was a fallen man, just like we are. He had Adam's sinful nature within him. Whereas Christ, great David's greater son, is so much more forgiving, so much more gracious, so much more merciful, even than David. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, he said in John 6 and 37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm afraid, like David and Shimei, I've come across people who claim that they've forgiven and they've forgotten, but they haven't. And later on in an argument, they bring it up again. And they refuse to let go. Well, let me tell you that when Christ Jesus forgives, he truly forgives. When he shows mercy, he truly shows mercy. When he lavishes grace, he truly lavishes grace. If you have been forgiven by God because of what Christ did at Calvary, let me assure you, you won't get to heaven only to find you've been duped or tricked and that you're going to be put on trial for your sin. Let me assure you, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, the Father forgave all those who repented. And if you've become a Christian and you've said to God, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin, I repent. In that very moment, your sins were taken from you, further away from you than the east is from the west and the north is from the south. Whereas David may not have been able to forgive, Christ is able. On the other hand, maybe there are many today who, like Shimei, mistake the general benefits of creation for the gracious forgiveness of God. What do I mean by that? Well, for a number of years, Shimei enjoyed living in Jerusalem, both with David and then later with Solomon. And Shimei may have mistaken the general kindness of David towards him for a genuine forgiveness and absolution of his crime. The Lord Jesus said that God causes the sunshine and the rain to fall on the righteous and on the wicked. Theologians call that God's common grace. In other words, everybody on the planet, regardless of their religion or their politics or their relationship to Christ, benefits from the general or common grace of God. He provides for them food. He provides for them luxuries. He provides for them the beauties and the splendors of the natural world. But we must not assume just because we enjoy the benefits of living in this wonderful planet, though it be sin-scarred, it is wonderful. We must not assume that because we've received the common grace of God and we enjoy it, that we are also recipients of the saving grace of God. The common grace of God is given to all, but the saving grace of God must be sought. It must be petitioned. It must be requested. It might be that you believe in God. It might be that you even realize that the world in which you live has been made by God and it is a wonderful place to live and you're grateful that God has given you it. But let me tell you, like Shimei, there was a forgiveness he never received. And there are many today who enjoy the benefits of living in this world and even believe in God and maybe even give him some glory and thanks for the world in which they lived. But have they been forgiven That's the ultimate question. Back in 2 Samuel, whether it was Shimei's fault or David's fault, I cannot really be certain. But this much I know, Shimei was not really forgiven. And it might be you're thinking, have I really been forgiven? Have I really been absolved of my guilt? Have I really had my sins washed away? Well, let me tell you this much. Jesus said, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are more wicked than Shimei, but Christ is more gracious than David. And I urge you, come to Christ, seek his forgiveness, and he will give it. Amen.